Okay, we have now the teachings of Marzutra Bar Tuvia, that Marzutra Bar Tuvia said in Rav, someone tightens the thread of a stitch, Hamote Chut Shel Tfir B'Shabbos, is going to be Chayev Chatas. Halom Edavar Echad Min Amagush Chayev Misa. Someone who learns even one thing from the Magush. The Magush was the Persian priest. They're going to have a Chayev Karis. Is going to be Chayev. One who knows how to calculate the astronomical seasons and the movement of the constellations and doesn't do so, you can't speak with him because his actions are improper for it. I mean, it's a mitzvah to calculate the different seasons and the constellations. That's in the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol. So Magush, we're going to talk about this Magush, Magosh. Rav Shmuel had a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. One said they were sorcerers, right? V'chadamar gidufei, and one said they're heretics. The Gemara says, conclude that Rav is the one who said they're the heretics. Rav mar gidufei, damar zutra bar tuvim rav. Halom er davar echam negosh chayev misid. Isal v'charshe haksiv. We already have that before. Lo silmad la'asos, right? You shall not learn to do, but you could learn to understand it, right? What it is. No, the problem is the Gemara says, include that Rav is the one who said it's heretics, because that's the issue that it's referring to over here. Anyone knows how to calculate and reckon the different constellations, calendars, and all that kind of stuff. I love a custom of Omer. As Paul Hashem lo yubito myself lo ro. As Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman and Yochanan, I mean, nine la adam lechashev tkufus mazlos. I know the person is supposed to do these calculations. By the way, you just know that some commentaries write that the significance of this knowledge lies in the ability to understand the different heavenly phenomena. Eclipses, for example, are not wondrous signs, but simply phenomena as nature of nature. So someone who lacks that knowledge is going to be subject to sort of superstitious beliefs. That's the Marsha. Others say this knowledge is important because the nations of the world can't grasp the wisdom of understanding Torah through the mitzvahs. But other nations do possess the ability to make these calculations, which allows the world to grasp the supreme significance, meaning all nations do possess the ability to make these types of calculations, and therefore this will demonstrate the significance of the Torah. So it's a, you know, Kiddush Hashem, showing our ability to do that through the Torah. Okay, Ezo Chachma Bina, right? It says Shmart the Masod of Ki Chachma Sevin is Chamla Eina Amim. Ezi Chachma Bina Shila Eina Amim. However, it's a Chishuk Tkufas U Mazalos. Okay, then Hatzat Svi, meaning one who traps a Chilazon, a Hatzat Chilazon Vapotso, one who traps, first of all, Adir, the Pasuk says, the Chachma is one who traps a Chilazon, that's used for the, right, for your Tchelis, and breaks its shell to remove the blood for the dye, is going to be chayav only one chatas on Shabbos. But if he moves it for the shell, he's going to chayav two, for two labors, trapping and also for threshing. Okay, it depends when you killed it, fine. Okay, mishum netilas neshama. Okay, mishum tzoveya in, mishum netilas neshama lo. Wait a second. So does Rav hold these chayav only for dying, but not for killing? So let's say we have here salting, smoothing, and makav patish and Shabbos. Salting and tanning. Salting is one of the processes of tanning. So you're right, you can't have both of those in there. You got to delete one. Molchava mabdo, haino molech, haino mabe. Say, sedam retaveh, apik chad b'neo v'ayel sirtud. Yeah, remove one of them and instead put in there, sirtud is drafting. In the Yerushalmi, it said that the Isser is listed in the Mishnah as Hamabed, which is referring to drafting, not tanning, that's referring to. It's a primary category of an Av Malacha. Okay, Vamachakeg Vamachto, and one who smooths it and one who cuts it, meaning one who rubs the hide between two pillars on Shabbos. It's stretched. The hide is stretched between two pillars. You're going to be chayav for doing the labor of smoothing. Some Mefarshim explained that between the pillars here refers to smoothing the floor of a building between two pillars. The Meiri says it refers to one who rubs the marble pillars inside a building to smooth them. One who removes protruding irregular threads from a cloak is chayev because the labor of striking it with a hammer. That's only if he's particular about them and not wearing that, wore them, if he wouldn't have worn them that way. So therefore, it's not complete until they're actually removed. Hakosev shteyosios, one who writes two letters. So the Chachamim say, "Yesh b'kol lichtav shteyim poter, else echad v'eskedal." There, one big and one small, right? There's places where you write two in your poter, and machak the goal of yesh b'kol lichtav shteyim, you have enough space for two, you're going to be chayev. V'zeh chomer b'mochek, that's the stringency of mochek, erasing over writing itself. Okay, babona, soser, hamachaba, mavir, ramar zera, damatavir, kol mina de isbe, gemar malacha. Whatever is the gemar malacha is a chiyuv of what's called makiv apatish. Elu avas malachas, elu lapukin rabbelazar, the machayav al told them makomav, chaser achas, lapukin rabbi Yehuda, dan rabbi Yehuda mosif at the shovet, vahamidaktik, rabbi Yehuda at lining up the threads of the warp and beating the threads of the woof to the list in the primary category of avas. Okay, then the Mishnah said, "Vod klala charamar kol a kosher latznia." They said anything which is fit to store, umatznia kamoso, and it's large enough to make it worthwhile to store for future use. You're going to be tevah shabbos. You're going to be chayev chatas kol she ain't a kosher latznia, ain't matznia kamoso. What tevah shabbos ain't a chayev at the matznia. You're not going to make the guy who carried on shabbos only the one who stores it to be chayev. Okay, kol ha kosher latznia. We're talking about items that you're liable for hotso here. What about ashera? Excludes wood from ashera, which you can't get benefit of adazara. And right, carrying atzei asheru. So the Gemara here mentioned the chilazon. According to the Tanakhama and the Braisa, someone who traps and smashes tzadam potzea, a chilazon, violates only one malacha, the malacha of trapping. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he violates two malachas, trapping and potzea. And you're not going to be chayav, though, for killing the chilazon. Now, many achronim point out that we can infer from the sugi here a number of distinguishing features of the chilazon. In addition to those features, there are a number of other distinguishing characteristics of the chilazon mentioned, the Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. So, based on those sugyas, is it possible to identify the chilazon and thus the tchelis died? Can we do it? So, to address that, we'll first look at the characteristics of the chilazon mentioned in the Gemara here and in other sugyas. The first group features describe the species of the chilazon as one. Menachas 44a is a creature. Its creature is like a fish. And then the Gemara earlier in 74b in Shabbos says the chilazon is captured with nets lowered into the water. The Gemara here in 75a that says that one is chayav for tzad when he captures the chilazon on Shabbos. And that implies the chilazon is not a creature that's easy to catch, but rather it's a creature that runs away when you try to catch it. We know that the malacha of trapping applies only when one captures an animal that is able to flee and that tries to run away when it's being hunted. That's Beitza 24. Tosfos here infers from the Gemara that one who removes the chilazon from the sea on Shabbos is not held liable for killing it until Shama, even if he allows the chilazon to become partially dry. That's because the chilazon doesn't die immediately being removed from the water, but it jumps around a bit. And that's a contrast to the halacha that one who removes the fish from the water is considered to have killed it as soon as it becomes partially dry, since it's going to certainly die. That's the Gemara in Shabbos 107b. So you see there's some difference in the chilazon and other sea creatures in that regard. Number five, the Gemara discusses someone who smashes potzea chilazon to extract its dye. The word potzea implies cracking or pounding a hard surface like a person's bones or a skull or a nutshell or branch, as opposed to korea, ripping. From the use of the word to describe what's done to the chilazon to extract its blood, it seems that the chilazon has some sort of hard shell which needs to be cracked open. And the details of the chilazon, right, the next group features, describe specific traits of the chilazon. The Braisa Menachah says that the chilazon's body is like the sea. And according to the text of the Braisa Maseches Tzitzis, its body is like the sky. And that implies that the body of the actual creature has a bluish hue. Seven, the Braisa says that it comes up once every 70 years. Or according to the text of Maseches Tzitzis, once in every 7 years. And the Braisa mentions that the dye of the chilazon is very expensive, due to the infrequent availability of the chilazon. The Gemara earlier in Shabbos 26a and Megillah 6a limits the locale where the chilazon can be found to the seashores of the tribe of Zvulun, from the cliffs of the Tsur, that's Rosh HaNikra, over to Haifa. The chilazon's link, which is the final group, the chilazon's ink, not link, the final group of features relate to the ink that the chilazon produces. So number nine, Rabbeinu Tam quotes Tosus and Ksuvis, who proves that the taking blood out of a creature is forbidden on Shabbos because of Netilas Neshama. And Tosus asks that according to Rabbeinu Tam, why is one not chayef for the malacha of Netilas Neshama when you take the blood out of the chilazon? So Tosus says the blood of the chilazon is gathered in a separate sack and the chilazon is ready to be extracted, and therefore its removal doesn't diminish the chilazon's life in any way. The Gemara here says that if the dye is extracted from the chilazon when it's alive, it's of better quality. The Gemara in Bava Metzia 61b says that the color of tchelis that comes from the chilazon is indistinguishable from that of indigo. The Gemara Menachas 43b says that tchelis is steadfast. It doesn't fade with time nor wash out of the wool dyed with it. Now that we reviewed the characteristic chilazon, so you analyze different opinions about the identity of chilazon and examine whether that fits with the above. So number one, is it kosher fish? So Tosfos here implies the chilazon is a type of fish that squirms around in the net after it's caught, making it difficult to extract the dye. And this Tosfos explains the difference between the chilazon and the other fish of the sea with regard to the Isser of Netilas Neshama on Shabbos. Since the chilazon squirms about after it's removed from the water, you're not considered to have killed it, and you have not transgressed the malach of Netilas Neshama at the moment we take it out of the water. Rather, it kills itself by wriggling about. Now, it seems that the view of Tosfos that the chilazon is a fish is based on the Gemara here, which implies that the chilazon is a fish like any other, and it has to be captured with nets. The Rambam also writes that the chilazon is a fish. What they don't discuss, however, is the exact identity of this fish, whether it's a kosher or non-kosher fish. And the view that the chilazon is a fish fits with a couple of the features we mentioned above. But it doesn't seem to contradict the fifth feature. It does seem to contradict the fifth feature, I would say, which is that the Gemara discusses something which potseya, you smash a chilazon to extract its dye. Potseya implies a cracking of a hard shell. So that itself would pose a little bit of a problem here. So that's one of the issues. Rabbeinu Bechaya discusses the three dyes used in the construction of the Mishkan, Tcheles, Argaman, and Tolashani. The last of the three dyes is generally understood to mean scarlet from a worm. And Rabbeinu Bechaya asks, how is that possible? The Gemara and Shabbos are the only products that are permitted to be eaten were used in the Mishkan, and worms and their secretions are not kosher. So he says the scarlet dye of the Tolashani was not actually taken from worms, but from sort of berry, which the worms tend to live. So according to the approach of the Rabbeinu Bechaya, we conclude the chilazon, which is a sea creature, has to be a normal fish with fins and scales, for this type of fish is the only sea creature. Is it a liquid? As he said, Tosfos holds that the chilazon is a fish. Rabbeinu Bechaya said it had to be a kosher fish to use for the Mishkan. Others say it didn't need to be a kosher fish. A dye obtained from a non-kosher fish was also permitted to use in the Mishkan. There's a book in the late 19th century by Ludwig Lewinson, you know, in his book Talmudic Zoology. I think that's Nat Lewin's great-grandfather, I'm pretty sure, that the chilazon is a type of squid known as the cuttlefish. And Lewinson based his conclusion on an inference from a statement of the Rambam Hilchas Tzitzis. The Radzina Rebbe came to the same conclusion, and he carried the conclusion one step further by developing a process whereby the sepia of the cuttlefish, which normally produces a dark brown dye, was transformed to a blue dye. And the Radzina Rebbe had three large volumes to prove that, Sifune Tmunechol, Psil Tcheles, and Ein Tcheles. He actually set up a factory. It's interesting that the method used by the Radzina Rebbe to produce the Tcheles consisted of boiling sepia together with iron fillings at extremely high temperatures to produce the pigment ferric. Now, dye chemists are quick to point out that the process does not make any unique use of the squid's inky secretion. In fact, the sepia itself disintegrates and never makes it to the final product, leaving behind only the nitrogen atoms. Any component that contains nitrogen is going to produce the same result with boiled with iron. And in fact, this similar process is used by organic chemistry to study for nitrogen in compounds. There are a few difficulties with the Radziner's opinion. First, Tcheles is described as absolutely inedible. The Radziner's Tcheles can fade and when scrubbed with common detergent. Second, the blue color that he produces is not blue of the sea, the shade of indigo, but rather a more metallic blue. And three, the squid that he uses, a species that is relatively abundant and common and doesn't correspond with a couple of the limitations we showed above. Is it a snail? Rashi and Sanhedrin's chilazon is a type of slug, a tolos, which alaspas bivdentaya is a type of mollusk. Rivet calls the chilazon a type of worm that lives in the sea. Is it a, you know, different people argue back and forth which type is it exactly. The Murex, the mid-1800s archaeologist, uncovered numerous ancient dye-producing factories along the Mediterranean coast, mostly in the northeastern area between Haifa and Lebanon, with large heaps of snail shells alongside of them. That is consistent with the Gemara statement that the only place in Eretz Yisrael where Tcheles can be found is in the territory of Zvulun, which runs along the Mediterranean coast from Haifa northward. These shells have been identified as belonging to three distinct species of snails, the Murex brendaris, the Murex trunculus, or the Purpura hasmotoma. We assume it's the Truncus merculus. Rav Herzog has a lot on this. He was a marine biologist, I think. Another sugi here, you have makalkel while killing. The Gemara asks that when you capture a chilazon, you should be chayav not only for tzad, but also for netilas neshama, for killing, and since the chilazon dies when it's caught. Rabbi answers that you're not going to be chayv for Netilas Shama when the chilazon dies as a result of being caught, because that act is merely one of misasik. You did one action, another action occurred unintended. Okay, the Gemara asks why the death of the chilazon is not a psik resha, something which is definitely going to occur. So the Gemara says that since you don't want the creature to die because the blood makes a finer dye when it's alive, it's not a maleches machsheves and it's going to be mutter.